If you turn your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter number 12, we had the opportunity last week to look at the importance of faith in our lives, and we were reminded of that great chapter of those who were victorious in life because they were people of faith. And when we get to chapter 12, Chapter 12 is starts out with a very, very important word, wherefore. And the little simple trite saying is, whenever you see the word wherefore, you better find out why it's therefore. And so chapter 12 is a conclusion of chapter 11. All that great host of people who successfully lived the life of faith, and through them, whether those victories were on earth or whether those victories were in heaven, they were won by faith. And now we are encouraged to live the life of faith. And so that is where we're going to be at in chapter 12 today. Living the life of faith and winning in the race of life. And so as we think of winning and winning in the race of life, we find some important ingredients of winning the race of life. And of course, that's a figure of speech, and we were reminded just a few weeks ago as we went through the book of Corinthians that the great end and purpose of our life as believers is to be able to stand before Jesus blameless. Blameless. And we recognize that is a positional, there is a positional truth that in Christ we are blameless, but we are in Christ so that in a real, practical sense, a living sense, that when our life is over, God's purpose is that we stand before Jesus blameless. Blameless. Let me remind you of that great verse. 1 Corinthians 1:8. Verse 7, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's plan, that we stand before Jesus, that we'll be blameless. I think it's amazing truth, because I feel today that that has been unemphasized, de-emphasized. And the great position we have in Christ as perfect has been emphasized to a point that we forget that the reason He has saved us and given us the Bible, so that we as believers, when we stand before Him, will stand blameless. God has a plan for our life. And we read about this great chapter of folks who, by faith, accomplished great things for God. And now we are encouraged to run that race of life so that we could finish the life standing before God, blameless, and having accomplished great things for Him. So first of all, let's obviously see the encouragement to run that race of life and to successfully run that race. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Well, we have this great cloud of witnesses. We have this great cloud of witnesses. We have these great examples of people who have successfully run the race, who by faith have accomplished great things. And we have that great privilege of being able to say, you know, they made it. They did it. God used them. What a list there is. But you know what? It was by faith. And so the Apostle Paul saying, okay, let's get ourselves in, enter into that race of faith and that life of faith and the race of life, because there's been a whole host of people who have lived that life of faith before us. And that's important, that we realize that that there are many who have run the race of life and by faith have conquered the great obstacles of life and won the prize. Obviously, that is one of the great purposes of a local church. The purpose of the local church in Hebrews chapter 10. It tells us that it's a place that we are to encourage one another, to love and to good works. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And Apostle Paul says, wherefore, we can be encouraged by all these great hosts, this great host of people who have lived for God. And you know, the Bible reminds us that Elijah was a man subject unto like passions as we are. The great Elijah was a man just like you and I. And everybody in the Bible, they were just flesh just like you and I. They were not some fictional hero. They were not some make-believe person. They were people who were born with all the same weaknesses that we are. They were born with a sinful nature. They were born sinners. They were born frail human beings. And by faith, they let God make them what He wanted them to be. And so there's this great encouragement to enter into the race of life. And so he says, so we have this great encouragement. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run. You know, this is a great a truth here. You know, every Christian has to decide to run the race. I mean, your name's on the roster if you're saved. Your name's on the roster. But you know what? You know, you got to decide to run the race. Yeah, decide to run the race. Now, I think there's a great emphasis here. The great emphasis is let us run with patience, with endurance. Let us run. I like that. The question is today, are you running? Are you running the race? Are you plotting? You slow poking it. You're sitting on the sidelines, watching others. Or are you in the race? That's a real issue. Are you in the race? That is a decision that is encouraged by this great multitude who decided to run the race. And it was a race of faith, and we will get there, but there is a decision. And you know, let's just say there's a race. And there's a marathon. Well, you know what? It's open to everybody, and every Christian has been entered on that roster, but you have to decide to run the race. Now, one time I was foolish enough to go out for track. And, you know, I never was very long and lanky. And my physical makeup is, I think I'm a little bit related to Mr. Knipple. When he had that knee surgery, knee surgery, they found his bones were so big, they had to shave them off to get the apparatus on there. Well, some people have big bones. That means they have a lot of, whatever you want to call it, baggage. But, you know, when you go out for a track and you decide you're going to run, you're going to prepare for some race. It's a decision. It's a decision. You have to decide to run the race. And that's what the Lord is saying, Christian. You have to decide to run the race. There is a race of life, and you have to decide to enter that race. And it is a conscious decision of every Christian. Of what you are going to do with your life. And obviously this is a truth taught many different places in the Bible. And in many different avenues. But the Christian life is a race. And you have to decide as a Christian to enter into that race. And that gives us an accurate picture of living the Christian life. In other words, if you aren't, if you're living the Christian life, you have entered into the race. And you have decided to enter into the race, and you are in the race to win the race and to finish the, get past the finish line and win. That's a decision. And you may be here today, and the obvious truth is you have not entered the race. You have not decided to enter the race of life and to be a winner. And chapter 11 is that encouragement to get into the race and to be used of God and to let God work through your life. But now we have this decision to enter into the race of life so that someday we'll stand before Jesus blameless. You know, I was talking to a man who is a Christian counselor. And he said, You know, I worked as a Christian counselor, this international counseling, Christian counseling center, and all day long, I had calls all day long of people wanting help. He said, and I was in that ministry for a number of years, and then I went into a local church ministry. And he said it was so sad because before I had all these people wanting help. And when I got into a local church ministry, I saw all these people with all these needs, but they didn't want help. They did not want help. You know what? What are you saying? There's a lot of people who aren't entered into the race. Many people have lost the idea that when they stand before Jesus, the key is to be blameless. That means change, doesn't it? You know, we've gotten swallowed up into the mega church movement. And I don't know what this lady meant by this, but this young lady was saying she was going to a mega church. And I don't know if I asked her why she went there. And it was this answer, because I can be who I am there. In other words, I don't have to change. But you know what? The Christian life is about change. Christian life is about growing. Amen. Christian life is about transformation. And so we have a decision to enter into the race. But there's a cost. There's going to be a cost in the race. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, there's a cost. There is a cost in the race. It's called, in track, it's called agony. It's called agony. It's called pain. Pain. It's called doing whatever it takes. That's what it means. It says, and uses the figure, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. In this race, what keeps us from running? What slows us down? What is the obstacle? What are the obstacles? Sin will stop you dead in the tracks. Sin will stop us dead in the tracks. That could be sins of the spirit, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, murmuring, complaining. It can be sins of the flesh. Any sin. Any sin. There's a cost. The cost is, I do whatever it takes. And the Christian life, it's a decision that says, I will deal with sin. I will deal with sin. Not only will I deal with sin, it says, I will deal with every weight. You know, there are some things that in running the race, it wouldn't be illegal to do. You know, it wouldn't be illegal to put weights on your foot. In fact, I'm sure there are football players that put weights on their feet when they run. There's a cost. You know, they say that Gale Sayers, some of you probably don't even know him. That was his name, wasn't it? Yeah, Chicago Bears. That he would run up and down hills until he would collapse. I mean, literally collapse. And then he would get up and he would run until he collapsed again. And he'd get up. When he woke up, he would get up and he would run until he collapsed again. Now, you talk about pain. There's pain. In a Christian life, yeah. But you know, there's many things that aren't necessarily sinful that are a weight. And if you're weighted down, you're not going to run very fast. And you aren't going to win the race. There's a cost to win the race. There's a cost. And the person who's taking, who's going to win the race is going to count the cost and pay the price. And we get a little bit of that encouragement as we see the means of winning the race. It says, looking unto Jesus, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith. Now this tells us the characteristic attitude, this characteristic activity of this race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're going to probably park there a little bit. He's the author of our faith. He paid the payment of our salvation. He is the way of salvation. He is the Savior. He is the author of our salvation. And we had to look to Him by faith. The Bible says, even as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a look to Jesus. There's a look of faith. That's how our faith starts, isn't it? It's a look of faith. Now, some people look at Jesus, but they don't have a look of faith. There's a huge difference. Look of faith. You know, when those Israelites were bitten by the serpents and Moses made the brass serpent and hung it up on a pole, and he says, if you look to that serpent in faith, you'll be healed. You know, they looked at that serpent in expectation of healing. And of course, that serpent was a picture of Jesus, who took our judgment on Calvary's cross. But you know, there was a look of faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. There's a look of faith. And the Bible says in Romans 1:17 that our Christian life is from faith to faith. It starts by faith and it continues by faith. And it says, in this race of life, there must be a continual looking to Jesus. A continual looking to Him in faith for victory. A continual looking to Him for strength. A continual looking to Him in every aspect. Looking unto Jesus. You know what? None of us will win this race on ourselves. Or in our own strength. And notice, looking unto Jesus, this is a conscious reality of the Christian life. It's not like the guy who was having marriage problems. And the wife goes to the counselor and says, you know, my wife never tells me, and my husband never tells me he loves me. And so the counselor brings the husband in and says, you know, your wife has a real problem. You never tell her you love her. Why don't you tell her you love her? He says, well, when we got married, I said I love you, and that's good enough. I meant it. Well, that wasn't good enough, was it? We look to Jesus when we get saved. But if we aren't consciously looking to Him in faith, we're not going to overcome the obstacles of life, are we? We're not going to defeat the entanglements of sin. We're not going to be victorious over the lies of the devil. We aren't going to be able to win the race of life. The question is, when's the last time you looked to Jesus? When's the last time you looked to Jesus? You know, I was thinking about this. Maybe some people do this. But, you know, sometimes in the ministry, you come to a real serious problem. And you know what? You have a temptation. You know what it is? Call a pastor friend. You say, well, that'd be a good thing to do. I call it temptation. Because sometimes that would be the easy way when the answer is to look to Jesus first. Now, some people, they get a jam in life. Instead of looking to Jesus, they call a friend. You know, friends are great. But you don't win the battle of life by calling a friend. You win the battle of life by faith looking to Jesus. That's how you win. And many people, instead of finding the victory, find a means to complain or murmur or be discouraged or feel, never can solve this one. Oh, look to Jesus. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and ye shall be saved. That's the formula. Looking to Jesus. Now let's think about that looking to Jesus. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So look to Jesus. It's to look to Jesus by faith and look to Jesus for the formula, for the example of how to win the race. And what did he say? What about Jesus? He says, he, because of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. The focus of the Lord Jesus was the joy of standing before the Father. Having completed our salvation, and defeated the devil, and presented full as the resurrected Savior in victory over death and over sin and the grave, stand before the Father. It's done. The joy that was set before him. Now, I think there's, we're going to maybe get this out of order here. But this is pretty important truth. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The Bible says this is the example. The joy that was set before him. In other words, the great focus in winning this race and in looking to Jesus is to be focused on that moment that we see Jesus Christ. That moment when we see Jesus Christ, the joy, the unspeakable joy of being in the presence of our Savior, the unspeakable joy of the Lord saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, I think the fact is that oftentimes we seldom think about that. We seldom think about that. You know, the story is told, and I can't remember the famous runners in the race, but it was in the 50s. They had two men who were the first sub-4-minute milers. And they were in a race, one against the other. And as they came to the finish line, one man was ahead just by a little bit. And as they came close to the finish line, the one runner looked back. And as he did, his opponent, whoosh, passed by him and won the race. Took his eyes off the goal. Took his eyes off the goal, took his eyes off the finish line. Just momentarily, it's all that it took to lose the race. And I'm sure someone tonight will tell me the two people and what their names were. Maybe you know them right now. But that's all it takes. The question is, have you taken your eyes off the finish line? Have you looked back? Instead of looking to the finish line, looking unto Jesus. I love that. James, Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What a great verse. What a great truth. What's it saying? There is no sin so great that cannot be conquered by merely looking in faith to Jesus Christ. He is able to save them to the uttermost. There's a man, Ari Torrey tells about the man who had trouble with alcohol for years and years and years. And he came to Ari Torrey and said, I don't know if I'm saved. I've had this trouble. For so long, I don't know. If I'm saved, and Ari Torrey took him to this verse, and he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. And that man got a hold of that truth, that Jesus Christ is able to save us from any sin, deliver us from its power. And of course, you know, I was reminded of this yesterday, hearing Matt Weber's testimony. Matt Weber, terrible drug addict, got on his knees and put his faith in Jesus Christ. And he got up off his knees and kind of like a sidelight, he said, I'm just kind of acting it out. He said, you know, if Jesus' blood can wash away all my sins just like that, well, certainly he could take away my drug addiction. If he can take away your sin and take you to heaven, that's big, isn't it? He certainly can take care of this little sin, this little problem. And by faith, he was delivered. Because Jesus is able to save them to the uttermost. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look to him. We got started by faith. We'll only go forward by faith. Every victory will be won by faith. And every victory will be won by looking to Jesus by faith. It's a personal choice, decision. Have you stopped looking to Jesus by faith and started trying to go forward by your own initiative, by your own ability, and stuck in a rut because you never can go forward? The Bible says, look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And if you're stuck in a rut, I guarantee it's because you have not consciously been looking to Jesus by faith. And then it says of Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You know, there was something negative along the way, wasn't there? It was the cross. He endured the cross. And obviously the picture is, he didn't skirt the cross because of the pain, because of the reproach, because of the suffering, because of being separated from the Father. He endured the cross. You know, there's something to endure. There's a price to pay if you're going to win the race. There's a price to pay. There's self-denial. You know, we live in a world that everybody wants it to be soft and cushy. You know, what do they say about John the Baptist? You know, they says, what went out to sea? A man clothed with fine raiment? No. There was a price to pay. If any man will follow me, let him deny himself. You know, we have to admit it. It's in the air. Everything today is about me, 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 me. About feel good, feel good, feel good, feel good. Pleasure, 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 and all those other things. But you know, there's a price to pay to follow Jesus. He endured the cross. You know, the pain that you go through to follow Jesus is only temporary. You know, the Apostle Paul, you know what he said? He said, if there's no resurrection, he said, I'm the most foolish of men. I'm the most foolish of men. If there's no resurrection, then you might as well eat, drink, and be merry. Just live for yourself. But there is a resurrection. Amen? The contradiction, he said, he said, he despised the shame. Thought about it. He despised the shame. I don't care about the shame. Most of us, we care about the shame. We're ashamed. We don't want to be different. We want the world to make fun of us. He despised the shame. I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I'm doing something. I'm looking forward to standing before the Father. They spit upon him. They mocked him. They said every bad thing you could imagine. Called him of the devil. That, I'm not going to be bothered by that shame. You know, do you ever have anybody say something real bad about you when you're trying to do good? You're serving God. People make fun. Boy, it's pretty debilitating, isn't it? Isn't it amazing how quickly that happens? He says, I'm not going to worry about that. Never worry about that. He endured such contradictive sinners, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Be weary and faint. Oh, I'm just so tired. Oh, I can't handle this. Living for God. Look to Jesus. And so that's the focus. Looking to Jesus. And the joy set before. Psalm 16, verse 11. Do we really believe it? Do we really believe it? And of course, this is a messianic psalm. And this is, in one reference, referring to the Lord Jesus. But this is a great truth for the believer. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Think of those Olympians. I've had association with Olympians in my athletic career. And there's something that is... I call it extreme about Olympians. I mean, they are extreme people. In my experience with Olympians, they will train. Many of them have trained for 12 years. And they train to the excruciating limit of athletic training. I mean, it's not just 1 year, it's not just 2 years, it's not just 3 years. I mean, for many of it's 8, 10, 12 years of extreme training for one thing. Just one thing. A medal. And I don't mean running around the track a couple times. Talking about extreme dieting, extreme training, extreme. Everything for a medal. That is the height of their goal. But it's nothing. It's nothing when you think of the joy standing before Jesus and him saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. I don't think we can comprehend it. I don't think it is comprehensible. But that's what the Bible says awaits the child of God. They stand before Jesus, having run the race, run it well, paid the price, endured the cross. Didn't drop out. And at the end, able to stand before Jesus, blameless. The goal of life. Nothing to be compared. And that's for eternity. That's for eternity. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience. The word patience emphasizes endurance. Endurance. You know, endurance in the athletic realm is when your body is racked with pain and you cannot take another step, you keep going. That's the word endurance. Now, we have a lot of different applications here. But one question is, have you entered the race? I realize that's figurative. But are you running the race? Are you running the race of life and say, you know what? I want to win the prize. You have to enter the race. That's why it says, let us run. I realize that we enter that race when we get saved. But there's a sense in which we must enter that race as believers. The second thing is, are you running? Are you running? It's easy to be faint and wearied in your mind and slow up. Right? That's why we need to look to Jesus. Keep our eye on Jesus. And I'm not just saying put our eye on him. I'm saying, the Bible is saying, to look to him consciously in faith. Going forward by faith. And then, no matter what the cost, keep on going. Now think about it. Here's a race. You ever see a race? All these people at the starting point. Right? Guess what? It's easy to start well. Easy to start well. But every day into the race is another opportunity to trip, to have something happen, to get sick, to grow weary. Every day. And that's life. It's life. It's one thing. Praise the Lord! I made it for 10 years. Wait a minute, there's 30 more. There's 30 more. And they're filled with Satan's opposition and the opportunity to be tripped up or to grow weary. Keep looking to Jesus. Keep looking to Jesus. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. It did say easily beset us, right? Yeah, easily beset us. Is that what you think about sin? Easily beset us? Yeah, it is. Looking unto Jesus. We keep our eyes by faith looking unto Jesus. Looking at the goal. My goal in life is to stand before Him blameless. Looking to Him by faith for every victory. For every need. The joy set before us. The joy, indescribable, everlasting joy in the presence of our Savior. Are you running the race? Have you already let some sin slow you down or pull you out of the race? Already? We have years ahead. Young person, already? Let some sin get you out of the race? There could be 40, 50 years yet. And by the way, only takes one. Even if you've been in the race 40 years, only takes one. One sin. Let's run with patience the race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the picture that we need in life to make it. To be able to say as the psalmist, in Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We're not talking about earning our salvation. We're talking about the joy of standing before Jesus, blameless and before Him, having finished our course, kept the faith. And Lord, I pray for any dear, precious soul that was in the hearing of this message today that has allowed a sin or a weight to come into their life. And they stopped them from running. Maybe it stopped them from running as fast. But it's ready to conquer them if they don't let it go. Pray you'd encourage them today to look to Jesus, whose blood was shed and can cleanse us from every sin. Lord, whatever the obstacle is, whatever the obstacle is, whatever the cost is, we thank You that we can look to You by faith and You can give us the victory. It's not in us, it's only in You. Lord, help us to look to Jesus Christ. Help that person today that has this great obstacle in their life, this great trouble, this thing that would hinder them in the race, that Satan could use to pull them out. I pray that they would find the victory today by looking to Jesus Christ. Looking to Him in faith, trusting Him. He is the victor. He rose from the dead. There's nothing too great for Him. And so, Lord, I pray You'd help us to refocus our lives today and keep our eyes upon Jesus. And for those who think it can't be done, might they be encouraged by the multitude that have. And once again, run with patience the race. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here today and the Lord is speaking to your heart. And there is something you ought to do. Maybe right there in that pew, you need to look to Jesus. You need to look to Him in faith. Not in doubt, not in disbelief, not in maybe, but to look to Him in faith. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. You need to look to Jesus. Maybe you're weary. Maybe there's a weight in your life. Maybe there's a friendship. Maybe there's a sin that has disrupted your race. And now you see it. And God is speaking to your heart about turning from that thing, confessing it. So you don't lose in this mighty race of life. And say, Pastor, pray for me, pray with me, God has spoken my heart. Or maybe you just say, you know, there's an important decision I have made and I'm just rejoicing in it. As we close, anyone here today, say, God has done a great work in my life today. Pray with me, okay? Praise the Lord, okay? Amen. Amen. Now, Lord, use Your word. I rejoice with what You've done in different hearts. And may, Lord, You use them as a catalyst of a reviving work right in our midst. Encourage them. We give You the glory. May this truth continue to ring in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.